Hello and welcome or welcome back to Scottish and Scared. I'm your host Stephanie, here to tell you about all the weird and wonderful things about my wee country Scotland. If you would like to get in touch with us, you can send us an email at scottishandscared@gmail.com. Follow us on Instagram at scottishandscaredpod or head over to our website scottishandscared.com for all our links and anything else you may need. Now, on to the show. So just a wee quick chat before we get into it, there are a few things I would like to catch everyone up on. I touched on this on our social media and I got so many positive responses from you folks, it was really heartwarming. Before I get too deep, I would just like to say that you may hear clickety-clacking because my dog Reggie is currently moving around the room and will not sit at peace. My neighbours have also started screaming and bawling at each other. They do not have indoor voices, so you may hear that. I will try and take it out as much as I can. And there are also kids running up and down the street on their very loud scooters. But again, I do apologise. I will try to remove as much as possible. But if you do hear it, that is what you are hearing. So now and again, I will let you know about wee things here and there that are going on with me and my life. But I do try to keep it as brief as possible just because I don't know how many people are actually interested in that kind of thing. But based on the responses I've had, I'm really going to push myself to do a wee recap each week of anything interesting I've been up to and things that are currently going on that could prevent me from doing the show consistently. I got a couple of emails this morning from listeners that were truly very motivational and some of them actually made me emotional. So I'm going to try and let you into my life the way that you let me into yours. That being said, I'm sure there are many of you who could not care less what is going on in my personal life and are just here to listen to me talk about castles and whatever else. So if that's you, please feel free to skip forward. You do not have to listen to this portion of the show. So as of right now, I am currently moving home again. If you've been a long time listener, you'll know I just moved into my current home a couple of years ago and just kind of settled in. But unfortunately, a couple of months ago, we found out that my mum is very sick. I'm not going to get into that too much because I don't know how much of that she would want me to share. But I'm going to be moving in with her just to make sure that she's okay and just basically be looking after her for the time being. The past couple of weeks, I have been packing, trying to sort everything with my current home, as well as looking after Reggie and doing my full-time job from home every day. So the podcast has had to take a backseat, unfortunately. I do the podcast because it gives me a break from the chaos of my everyday life. It's something I'm really passionate about and I really, really enjoy doing. I tend to go radio silent when the show isn't posting, but I'm going to change that going forward and keep you all in the loop as much as I possibly can. I know I say this all the bloody time, but consistency is key with these kind of things, which leads me into my next point. Due to the move, I've been planning on opening up a sort of HQ for the podcast. We've been inquiring about a few commercial office spaces completely separate from my home to do the show. If you don't know, I currently do everything from my own home, so it can get a wee bit chaotic trying to record and research everything without distraction. I also have ADHD. I was diagnosed when I was 16, so it can overwhelm me a wee bit when there are just too many things going on and I can struggle to fully concentrate on what I'm doing. Don't get me wrong, having ADHD does have its pros. It's a great tool when you're doing something like a podcast, for me anyway, because I can hyperfixate, which comes in handy with research and reading and all those types of things. The plan with the HQ is to have a dedicated space for the podcast. That's where we will do all of our recording, all of our working, all of our meetings, all that kind of stuff. We also want to explore some different types of content and are planning on bringing in video content. It's also going to allow us to have guests on and have them in a space where they feel comfortable and safe, which is very important to us. It would be a bit strange having complete strangers in my home and I just feel like the whole Skype, Zoom kind of thing is very impersonal and I just don't feel like it's the same. So that is in the pipeline and we can't wait to get it up and running and we will keep you updated on all that stuff and when it will be open and when we'll be recording. We will keep you in the loop with that. Another thing we've been working on is an online merch store. I'm currently working with a few artist friends and my tattoo artist to draw up some cool designs for you folks. Everything will run through us, so everything you see and receive will have been handled and quality checked by us personally. It will also be designed by us. Our goal is to have a bunch of podcast merch as well as other kind of spooky alternative everyday items as well. So all very exciting and like I said, I can't wait for you to see what we come up with. Last thing before we get into the episode, we will be in Edinburgh on the 11th and 12th of August for The Fringe. We're taking a wee trip up to see Frankie Boyle, so we're very excited for that. We wanted to know if there are any listeners that have a show on or a stall selling bits and bobs. If you get in touch and let us know, we can stop by and say hello. We're also going to be doing the Edinburgh Vaults tour while we are there, which is why I have decided to make it the subject of today's episode. So today, my lovelies, we are back in the wonderful city of Edinburgh. We are going to be talking about the Edinburgh Vaults. You may have heard of them before. They've been investigated by Ghost Adventures, Most Haunted, and we all know how I feel about those shows. But yes, they are renowned for being extremely haunted and are open to the public for tours. I myself have been on a tour of the vaults and had what I would consider a very strange experience, so I'll tell you all about that later on in the show. There are various different vaults in Edinburgh where you can do tours and all that kind of stuff, but I'm specifically going to be talking about the South Bridge vaults, as they are the ones mainly covered in the media and most popular in terms of hauntings. So let's talk a wee bit about the history of the vaults first, shall we? During the late 18th century, Edinburgh was in its element. It was a bustling and growing city to the point they had to consider expansion. In order to support this expansion, two bridges were constructed, and they are the North and South Bridges. The South Bridge was originally constructed to provide a footpath from the High Street in Old Town all the way to the universities on the south side of the city. It was also the home of Edinburgh's first shopping district. In order to make space and build the South Bridge, three closes were knocked down in the Cowgate area, and those were Marlins Wynd, Peebles Wynd and Nidrees Wynd. If you don't know what a close is, it's just kind of like a building where multiple people can be housed in separate houses and flats. It's basically just an old apartment building, but here in Scotland we still call them closes. Anything that was left over from the demolition of these closes was put towards building the South Bridge. Construction actually began in 1785. 19 stone arches made up the bridge and spanned 1,000 feet in length. It stood 31 feet above the ground and the foundation was almost 23 feet down into the bedrock below. All of the arches but one were hidden behind tenement buildings and closes to provide enough space to come and go and ensure there was enough room for commercial business. The hidden arches had various different floors to allow many different types of industry to thrive. Beneath the surface of the bridge were around 120 rooms, also known as vaults, and these came in a variety of sizes. Some were huge, some were very, very small. The vaults were originally intended for storage space for the businesses operating on the South Bridge, but this would shortly change. After its official opening on March 1788, things began to take a turn. It was claimed that the initial construction of the bridge was rushed after pressure from the local council to get it up and running as soon as possible. This meant that necessary steps such as sealing the surface against water was never done. As we know, Scotland can be extremely wet and it rains like 3 days a week here non-stop. Soon the vaults beneath began to flood and many were the victim of water damage. No longer fit for purpose, the vaults were quickly abandoned and this allowed people to move in with more sinister intentions for them. The Cowgate area of the city at this time was known to be a bit of a rough area. There was a lot of people living in poverty and crime was an everyday occurrence. The area was so bad it was known as Edinburgh's slum. Seeing the vaults abandoned, people began to take full advantage of this. Initially used for business and traders, the vaults soon became renowned for brothels and illegal drinking dens. Along with that, some of the poorer people in the community used it as a shelter from the elements as they couldn't afford the alternative and had to keep their families off the street. As you can imagine, the living conditions and just general environment down there would have been very poor and very dangerous. Being underground, there were no windows, natural light, no fresh air, no running water, which means no sanitation. And with some of the chambers being crammed with people and families, I imagine it to be a pretty grim place to live. It will come as no surprise to you that with the kinds of people occupying the space down there, that crime became a major problem. The types of crime ranged from robbery, illegal gambling, illegal whiskey distillery, sexual assault and even murder. There was even a rumour going around that Burke and Hare, who were two serial killers operating in the area, were using the vaults to pick out their next victims. Now this is just a rumour, though I couldn't find any evidence of that. If you want to know more about Burke and Hare, we covered them, so please go check out that episode to find out a bit more about them. At some point, the vaults were closed permanently, although I couldn't pinpoint an exact date. It seems to be somewhere between 1835 and 1875. One day, they just decided to close them up and call it a day. There isn't much in terms of written source material from the time these vaults were in residential use, so I figure that's probably why they weren't rediscovered until the 1980s. There had been some excavation work done where they found middens, which are just like bins or crates, that were filled with toys, plates and medicine bottles. The most famous incident of their discovery involves Scottish rugby internationalist Norrie Rowan, who discovered a tunnel leading into the vaults in the 80s. He was doing some construction work in his new pub, the Tron Tavern, when he stumbled on the tunnel and decided to do a bit of exploring. He even used the tunnel as an escape route in 1989 for Romanian rugby player Cristian Radicuanu, who was seeking political asylum in the weeks leading up to Romania's revolution. Again, I am so sorry, Cristian, if I just butchered your name. Nori then went on in the 90s with the help of his son to start excavating, where they found a number of chambers completely filled with rubble, which they both removed by hand. While doing so, they found broken crockery and oyster shells. Now that might sound a bit odd, but oysters were the staple food for the working class during the time the vaults were in operation. And finding all these artifacts allowed people to conclude that the vaults were used as housing at some point in time. Like I said way back at the beginning, one of the South Bridge arches can still be seen in the Cowgate area of the city. I myself have walked past this arch so many times and I had absolutely no idea that that is what they were. I'm going to be in the Cowgate area in the next few weeks, so I will take a wee picture for you while I'm there. Since the 90s, there have been many excavations done and some of the chambers and accessible areas have been put to use. Some of them make up part of clubs, pubs, event venues, the list goes on and on. For the most part, they are host to tours, which brings me to the hauntings. Personally, I don't think it's surprising to believe that these vaults are haunted. The amount of crimes such as murder and the amount of people who probably passed due to illness down there must be very high. So I totally believe that there is something strange going on down there. The incidents that I'm about to talk about are in relation to the South Bridge vaults. Like I said, they have been the subject of many an investigation. Ghost Adventures did their investigation in 2008. I'm sure they caught a bunch of stuff on camera, but I will not be subjecting myself to watching Zach Bagans shouting at thin air for 40 minutes, so feel free to send me on anything of interest. In 2003, Most Haunted conducted their own investigation and they even returned in 2006 for a Halloween special. While they were there, they seen strange shapes and shadows, heard strange disembodied voices, and as always, there was a plethora of close-ups on Yvette Fielding's terrified face. The show's concluding statement of the location is as follows, quote, "The vaults are home to a myriad of supernatural occurrences that defy logical explanation," end quote. Take that as you will, my friends. I am very sorry if these are one of your favourite shows. I just cannot get into them, I'm afraid. It's just all a bit too theatrical, a bit too much for me. The most believable televised investigation, in my opinion, took place in 2009. The BBC did a series called Joe Swash Believes, where he would look into things like UFOs, ghosts, conspiracy theories from an unbiased, sceptical point of view. If you don't know who Joe Swash is, he was on a series here in the UK called EastEnders, and he's done a bunch of other shows. He's basically just a TV personality here in the UK. During the episode, Joe did his tour of the vaults and learned about the history and some of the paranormal activity that has been witnessed there. He then had to do an overnight where he was completely alone with a handheld camera. During the night, he decided to go to sleep in one of the chambers and left the camera rolling. While he was asleep, the camera picked up various unexplained voices. The voices continued for almost 20 minutes until the sound of children shouting is heard and the camera switches itself off. The following day, the BBC team played it back to Joe, who was completely gobsmacked as he heard nothing while he was in there asleep, and the team could not explain the origin of these voices. There was claims that it was the noise from the nightclubs and pubs nearby, but if you've seen it, you can clearly hear the music and bustle from those venues in the background, and these voices sound like they are underground and they're with Joe. So I don't know what they could be. I don't know if they're ghosts or if there is some sort of interference. But yeah, if you want to watch it, just Google Joe Swash Believes in Ghosts. I think it was released in 2010. But yeah, go give it a wee watch and let me know what you think of it. As well as televised investigation, it has featured on many different podcasts and it has appeared in various different books. So it's fair to say that they are very famous in the paranormal community. Now let's talk about some of the ghosts that could be causing this activity. The most famous one is known as Mr. Boots or The Watcher. Although there is no evidence to support who this entity could be, there are a few theories. People have claimed to feel like they are being watched while down there, like something is staring at them from the darkness. This has led people to believe that he could be the spirit of a hired watchman. As we know, the vaults were originally used for storing goods for the businesses above, so it would make sense to have a big scary man watching your valuables. Many believe that this is also why he is so aggressive in nature. He's been known to shove people around, scream at people to get out, and just generally make people feel very, very uncomfortable. Others believe he might have been a bit of a nasty in life with something to hide. Given that the vaults were being occupied by some of the poorest in the area with nothing to bargain with, He could have been taking advantage and terrorising some of the occupants who couldn't defend themselves. Or he could have been one of the rumoured body snatchers or murderers. Whichever you choose to believe, his presence can be very unnerving. People have had to leave the tour due to anxiety or panic attacks, and some have even left with bruises and scratches. Those that have seen him describe him as a tall, looming man wearing a dirty blue coat and heavy dirty boots, hence the name Mr. Boots. He's mainly seen at the back of the vaults pacing back and forward and watching everyone who comes and goes. He's even been known to throw a wee rock or two if he doesn't like the look of you. Whatever his nature, he seems pretty pissed off with people being in his area, and I would leave him well enough alone. Another ghost that is reported is that of a young boy named Jack. Those that have seen him describe him as a blonde little boy with curly hair, about 6 or 7, wearing a blue suit and knickerbocker trousers. Not much is known about his past, but he's known to wander around taking special interest in women and children. He's famously known to grab people by the hands and tug at their clothing. The voices of children playing and yelling are also heard from time to time, and these are linked to Jack as well. One of the lesser witness spirits is that of the cobbler. A small older man wearing an apron, and he is just kind of living his best ghost life, wandering around smiling at people coming and going. So he seems like a very nice wee man. I wouldn't mind running into him. Those are the main spirits I could find roaming the halls of the vaults, but I'm sure there are many, many more. There is so much information that I can't share about this place because I feel like you need to do the tour to hear the stories fully. There were so many things that I heard on the tour that I couldn't find online about witchcraft and satanic rituals and all that kind of stuff. So I would recommend taking the tour if you get the chance, just to get the wider picture. And that kind of brings me to my experience at the vaults. So when I was 15, I was in high school, which was a long time ago. Our school organised a kind of school trip to Edinburgh. We went to Holyrood and then we were doing a tour of the vaults. Now there was about 20 or 30 in our group and we were just all school pupils and one of our teachers. And we went into the vaults. We met our tour guide. She was absolutely lovely. She knew her stuff. She knew exactly what she was talking about. Very knowledgeable. And they kind of just lead you through the vaults, telling you the history, the things that have happened there. Basically what I've just done. Just in a bit more depth. And she took us to a vault, a chamber that was right at the back of the vaults. So she took us in there and she was just kind of telling us stories and a wee bit of the history behind the room. And another thing that I really like about these tours is they don't tell you right off the bat every single bit of paranormal or weird happenings that's happening in the area. Because I feel like sometimes when people tell you those things, you're automatically on edge and you're waiting for something to happen. And then I think you can misconstrue just normal, natural things happening that are supernatural when they're not. So it kind of, if you have a genuine experience and you don't know all this stuff, it kind of makes it a bit more genuine. So yeah, she didn't tell us all of it off the bat. She was just kind of giving it to us in dribs and drabs. So that last chamber, she told us all about the history and stuff, and then we left that chamber. And to get down from that chamber, there was about 5 big, thick stone steps that you had to go down. And obviously 30 pupils all stampeding towards these stairs. I was at the very back because I'm very inquisitive and I just wanted to take in everything around me. Again, ADHD, hyper-focus on everything. I see everything. So I wanted to take everything in. So I was right at the back, just lagging behind. And once I seen everything, I made my way towards the stairs, just shuffling forward. And my teacher was beside me, in front of me. And I didn't know if there was anybody behind me. I just assumed that there was a teacher or a tour guide. So as I'm walking towards these steps, waiting my turn to go down, I felt someone take hold of my hand. I didn't think it was weird. I didn't think it was a ghost. I didn't think it was anything supernatural. I just assumed that maybe one of the other pupils that was scared, or one of my friends that was scared, took my hand. But I didn't look to see who it was. I was just too busy taking in everything around me and being curious, and just proceeded to keep walking towards the stairs. As I got to the top of the stairs and went to take my first step down, the person let go of my hand, and because I was mid-step, I fell forward a wee bit and I pushed a girl in front of me by accident and she fell. So if you're listening, I'm very sorry that you fell. It was not a ghost, it was me. So that happened and obviously I was annoyed, so I turned round to give that person a shuriken and there was nobody there. There was no tour guides, there was no teachers, there was nobody, absolutely nobody behind me. So immediately the hairs on the back of my neck stood up and I just felt really weird because I knew that somebody took my hand and I felt them take my hand and I was so convinced that somebody was standing beside me. I could feel them standing beside me, but there was nobody there. So I never told anybody. I didn't want to be that guy. So I just kept it to myself and we kept on moving. We picked up the girl who fell and she was absolutely convinced that it was a ghost that pushed her. I just let her have her moment and I just kept it moving. We did the rest of the tour, which was great. But in the last room, the lady started telling us about some of the ghosts that are seen in the vaults. And then she told us the story of Jack, the wee boy who likes to take the hands of women and children. And immediately the hairs on the back of my neck and my arms stood up. And I was completely convinced that I had just had an experience with this wee boy. Again, I never said anything. I just kept it to myself. And we kept on moving. And when we were upstairs in the gift shop, they have like loads of artifacts in there, loads of stuff you can go and have a wee look at. Very interesting stuff. And I told one of the tour guides what had happened and she kind of just smiled and told me that she thinks that I had an experience with Jack. So that was my experience in the vaults and I have held on to that for my whole life. It was a very genuine thing that happened and it really scared me. But now I just kind of find it quite cool. And the tour itself was amazing, very knowledgeable, so much history, and it was very scary. Like I said, it's very claustrophobic down there. It's red lighting, all that kind of stuff. It's very eerie. The tour was amazing. I highly recommend it. We did have a few other people on the tour who had experiences. Two boys had scratches on them. I don't know if they were self-inflicted. I don't know. But they had scratches, and one girl in our group actually had to leave because she had an anxiety attack. We don't know if that was because it was dark, claustrophobic, or it was a ghost, we just don't know, but she had an anxiety attack and had to leave. But yeah, that was what happened to me at the vaults, and I will tell that tale for as long as I live. If you've had any experiences like this, please send them our way. We are putting together a wee listener episode, and I would love to share your experiences if you are comfortable with that. They don't have to relate to ghosts, they can be about cryptids, premonitions, anything that would be considered strange or unusual, send them our way. If anything I've discussed in today's episode has piqued your interest, or you just enjoy the darker side of history like me, I would highly recommend you plan a wee trip to Edinburgh. It seems to be the hub for anything supernatural, strange, occult, all the good stuff. I don't think there is enough out there in Scotland on this type of thing, and I don't know why. I think there's a really big market for it, but yeah, Edinburgh is the place to be if you like all that kind of stuff. Definitely put it on your list. Some of the tour companies I would like to give a wee mention are Meerkat Tours and Auld Reekie Tours. They both have websites that I will link below. Head over and give their tours a wee gander. They are amazing at what they do, and I guarantee you will have a positive experience with them. We will be doing the Vaults tour while we are in Edinburgh with Auld Reekie Tours for the Fringe, and I can't wait. If we have any strange experiences, I will do a wee follow-up episode for you, and we'll also be logging it all on our Instagram, so go follow us there if you can. I hope you all have a smashing weekend, whatever you may be doing. I will see you on Sunday with another Mythological Creatures episode. I hope you enjoyed, and I will see you all in the next one. Stay weird, stay scared. Bye, folks.